The General Council of the Assemblies of God, Statement of Fundamental Truths. The Bible is our all-sufficient rule for faith and practice. This statement of fundamental truths is intended simply as a basis of fellowship among us, i.e. that we all speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1:10, Acts 2:42. The phraseology employed in this statement is not inspired or contended for, but the truth set forth is held to be essential to a full gospel ministry. No claim is made that it contains all biblical truth, only that it covers our need as to these fundamental doctrines. Number one, the scriptures inspired. The scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, are verbally inspired of God and are the revelation of God to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, 2 Peter 1:21. Number two, the one true God. The one true God has revealed himself as the eternally self-existent I Am, the creator of heaven and earth and the redeemer of mankind. He has further revealed himself as embodying the principles of relationship and association as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Isaiah 43, 10 and 11. Matthew 28, 19. Luke 3, 22. The adorable Godhead, A, terms defined. The terms Trinity and persons are related to the Godhead, while not found in the Scriptures, are words in harmony with Scripture, whereby we may convey to others our immediate understanding of the doctrine of Christ respecting the being of God, as distinguished from God's many and Lord's many. We therefore may speak with propriety of the Lord our God, who is one Lord as a Trinity or as one being of three persons, and still be absolutely scriptural. Examples, Matthew 28, 19, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, John 14, 16 and 17. B, distinction and relationship in the Godhead. Christ taught a distinction of persons in the Godhead, which he expressed in specific terms of relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that this distinction and relationship as to its mode is inscrutable and incomprehensible because unexplained. Luke 1:35, 1 Corinthians 1:24, Matthew 11, 25 through 27, Matthew 28, 19, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, 1 John 1, 3 and 4. C, unity of the one being of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Accordingly, therefore, there is that in the Father which constitutes him the Father and not the Son. There is that in the Son which constitutes him the Son and not the Father. And there is that in the Holy Spirit which constitutes him the Holy Spirit and not either the Father nor the Son. Wherefore, the Father is the begetter, the Son is the begotten, and the Holy Spirit is the one proceeding from the Father and the Son. Therefore, because these three persons in the Godhead are in a state of unity, there is but one Lord God Almighty, and his name one. John 1:18, John 15:26, John 17, verses 11 and 21, Zechariah 14:9. D, identity and cooperation in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are never identical as to person, nor confused as to relation, nor divided in respect to the Godhead, nor opposed as to cooperation. The Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son as to relationship. The Son is with the Father, and the Father is with the Son as to fellowship. The Father is not from the Son, but the Son is from the Father, as to authority. The Holy Spirit is from the Father and the Son proceeding as to nature, relationship, cooperation, and authority. Hence, no person in the Godhead either exists nor works separately or independently of the others. John chapter 5, verses 17 through 30, verse 32, verse 37, John chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. E, the title, Lord Jesus Christ. The appellation Lord Jesus Christ is a proper name. It is never applied in the New Testament either to the Father or to the Holy Spirit. It therefore belongs exclusively to the Son of God. Romans 1, 1 through 3, Romans 1, 7, 2 John 3. F, the Lord Jesus Christ, God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, as to his divine and eternal nature, is the proper and only begotten of the Father. But as to his human nature, he is the proper Son of Man. He is, therefore, acknowledged to be both God and man, who, because he is God and man, is Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1, 23, 1 John 4, verses 2, 10, and 14, Revelation 1, verses 13 and 17. G, the title, Son of God. Since the name Emmanuel embraces both God and man in the one person, our Lord Jesus Christ, it follows that the title Son of God describes his proper deity, and the title Son of Man his proper humanity. Therefore, the title Son of God belongs to the order of eternity, and the title Son of Man to the order of time. Matthew 1, 21 through 23, 2 John 3, 1 John 3, 8, Hebrews 7, 3, Hebrews 1, 1 through 13. H, transgression of the doctrine of Christ. Wherefore, it is a transgression of the doctrine of Christ to say that Jesus Christ derived the title Son of God solely from the fact of the incarnation, or because of his relation to the economy of redemption. Therefore, to deny that the Father is a real and eternal Father, and that the Son is a real and eternal Son, is a denial of the distinction and relationship in the being of God, a denial of the Father and the Son, and a displacement of the truth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. 2 John 9, John 1, verses 1, 2, 14, 18, 29, and 49, 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, 1 John 4, 1 through 5, Hebrews 12, 2. I, exaltation of Jesus Christ as Lord. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, having by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, angels and principalities and powers having been made subject unto him. And having been made both Lord and Christ, he sent the Holy Spirit that we, in the name of Jesus, might bow our knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, until the end, when the Son shall become subject to the Father, that God may be all in all. Hebrews 1, 3. 1 Peter 3, 22. Acts 2, 32 through 36, Romans 14, 11, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. J, equal honor to the Father and to the Son. Wherefore, since the Father has delivered all judgment unto the Son, it is not only the express duty of all in heaven and on earth to bow the knee, but it is an unspeakable joy in the Holy Spirit to ascribe unto the Son all the attributes of deity and to give him all the honor and glory contained in all the names and titles of the Godhead, except those which express relationship. See paragraphs B, C, and D. And thus honor the Son even as we honor the Father. John 5, 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1, 8, Revelation 5, 6 through 14, Philippians 2, 8 and 9, Revelation 7, 9 and 10, Revelation 4, 8 through 11. Number 3, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, The scriptures declare, A, his virgin birth, Matthew 1:23, Luke 1, verses 31 and 35. B, his sinless life, Hebrews 7:26, 1 Peter 2:22. C, his miracles, Acts 2:22, Acts 10:38. D, his substitutionary work on the cross, 1 Corinthians 15:3, 2 Corinthians 5:21. E, his bodily resurrection from the dead, Matthew 28:6, Luke 24:39, 1 Corinthians 15:4. F, his exaltation to the right hand of God, Acts 1, verses 9 and 11, Acts 2:33, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, Hebrews 1, 3. Number 4, the fall of man. Man was created good and upright, for God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." However, man by voluntary transgression fell and thereby incurred not only physical death, but also spiritual death, which is separation from God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, Genesis 2, 17, Genesis 3, 6, Romans 5, 12 through 19. Number 5, the salvation of man. Man's only hope of redemption is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A, conditions to salvation. Salvation is received through repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, being justified by grace through faith, man becomes an heir of God according to the hope of eternal life. Luke 24:47, John 3:3, Romans 10:13-15, Ephesians 2:8, Titus 2:11, Titus 3:5-7. B, the evidences of salvation. The inward evidence of salvation is the direct witness of the Spirit, Romans 8:16. The outward evidence to all men is a life of righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24, Titus 2:12. Number 6, the ordinances of the church. A, baptism in water. The ordinance of baptism by immersion is commanded in the scriptures. All who repent and believe on Christ as Savior and Lord are to be baptized. Thus they declare to the world that they have died with Christ and that they also have been raised with him to walk in newness of life. Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16, Acts 10:47 and 48, Romans 6:4. B, Holy Communion. The Lord's Supper, consisting of the elements, bread and the fruit of the vine, is the symbol expressing our sharing the divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 1:4, a memorial of his suffering and death, 1 Corinthians 11:26, and a prophecy of his second coming, 1 Corinthians 11:26, and is enjoined on all believers, quote, till he come, end of quote. Number 7, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. All believers are entitled to and should ardently expect and earnestly seek the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire, according to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the normal experience of all in the early Christian church. With it comes the endowment of power for life and service, the bestowment of the gifts and their uses in the work of the ministry. Luke 24:49, Acts 1, 4 and 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31. This experience is distinct from and subsequent to the experience of the new birth, Acts 8, 12 through 17, Acts 10, 44 through 46, Acts 11, 14 through 16, Acts 15, 7 through 9. With the baptism in the Holy Spirit comes such experiences as an overflowing fullness of the Spirit, John 7, 37 through 39, Acts 4, 8, a deepened reverence for God, Acts 2, 43, Hebrews 12, 28, an intensified consecration to God and dedication to His work, Acts 2, 42, and a more active love for Christ, for His word, and for the lost, Mark 16, 20. Number 8, the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of believers in the Holy Spirit is witnessed by the initial physical sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance, Acts 2, 4. The speaking in tongues in this instance is the same in essence as the gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 10, verse 28, but different in purpose and use. Number 9, sanctification. Sanctification is an act of separation from that which is evil and of dedication unto God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 13:12. Scriptures teach a life of, quote, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, end of quote, Hebrews 12:14. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to obey the command, quote, be ye holy, for I am holy, end of quote, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Sanctification is realized in the believer by recognizing his identification with Christ in his death and resurrection, and by faith reckoning daily upon the fact of that union, and by offering every faculty continually to the dominion of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, verse 13. Romans 8, verses 1, 2, and 13. Galatians 2, 20, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, 1 Peter 1, 5. Number 10, the church and its mission. The church is the body of Christ, the habitation of God through the Spirit, with divine appointments for the fulfillment of her great commission. Each believer born of the Spirit is an integral part of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Ephesians 2, 22. Hebrews 12, 23. Since God's purpose concerning man is to seek and to save that which is lost, to be worshiped by man, to build a body of believers in the image of His Son, and to demonstrate His love and compassion for all the world, the priority reason for being of the Assemblies of God as part of the church is A, to be an agency of God for evangelizing the world, Acts 1, 8, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. B, to be a corporate body in which man may worship God, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. C, to be a channel of God's purpose to build a body of saints being perfected in the image of His Son, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, 1 Corinthians 14, 12. D, to be a people who demonstrate God's love and compassion for all the world, Psalms 19, I'll start over at D. D, to be a people who demonstrate God's love and compassion for all the world, Psalm 112, verse 9, Galatians 2, 10, Galatians 6, 10, James 1, 27. The Assemblies of God exist expressly to give continuing emphasis to this reason for being in the New Testament apostolic pattern by teaching and encouraging believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This experience, A, enables them to evangelize in the power of the Spirit with accompanying supernatural signs, Mark 16, 15 through 20, Acts 4, 29 through 31, Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. B, adds a necessary dimension to a worshipful relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. C, enables them to respond to the full working of the Holy Spirit in expression of fruit and gifts and ministries as in New Testament times for the edifying of the body of Christ and care for the poor and needy of the world. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Galatians 6, 10. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Colossians 1, 29, Galatians 5, 22 through 26. 11, the ministry. A divinely called and scripturally ordained ministry has been provided by our Lord for the fourfold purpose of leading the church in 1, evangelization of the world, Mark 16, 15 through 20, 2, worship of God, John 4, 23 and 24, 3, building a body of saints being perfected in the image of his Son, Ephesians 4, 11 and 16, and 4, meeting human need with ministries of love and compassion, Psalm 112, verse 9, Galatians 2, 10, Galatians 6, 10, James 1, 27. 12. Divine healing. Divine healing is an integral part of the gospel. Deliverance from sickness is provided for in the atonement and is the privilege of all believers. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. James 5, 14 through 16. Number 13. The blessed hope. The resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and their translation together with those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord is the imminent and blessed hope of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Romans 8, 23. Titus 2, 13. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Number 14, the millennial reign of Christ. The second coming of Christ includes the rapture of the saints, which is our blessed hope, followed by the visible return of Christ with his saints to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Zechariah 14, 5. Matthew 24, verses 27 and 30. Revelation 1, 7. Revelation 19, 11 through 14. Revelation 20, 1 through 6. This millennial reign will bring the salvation of national Israel. Ezekiel 37, 21 and 22. Zephaniah 3, 19 and 20. Romans 11, 26 and 27. And the establishment of universal peace. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. Psalm 72, 3 through 8. Micah 4, verses 3 and 4. Number 15, the final judgment. There will be a final judgment in which the wicked dead will be raised and judged according to their works. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life, together with the devil and his angels, the beast and the false prophet, will be consigned to everlasting punishment in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Matthew 25, 46, Mark 9, 43 through 48, Revelation 19, verse 20, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, Revelation 21, verse 8. Number 16, the new heavens and the new earth. Quote, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. End of quote. 2 Peter 3, 13, Revelation 21, 22. Statement of Fundamental Truths is the official delineation of the Assemblies of God 16 doctrines. These truths are non-negotiable beliefs that all Assemblies of God churches adhere to.